A lot of excitement here, right? Amen. Children, young people did a great job waving their palms. Can you just imagine on that day, everybody waving their palms and preparation for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? I know it was exciting. Saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of kings, the Lord of lords. What an awesome experience. This morning, our message is on Jesus' glorious surrender, and our scripture is taken from Luke chapter 22, beginning with the verse 39 through 46, which is Jesus' entry going into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he spent much of his time in prayer. Maybe he spent hours, but sometimes he spent all night praying about special things with the Father in preparation for everything that he did in ministry. Alongside this particular scripture, you might want to read Isaiah chapter 53, 10 through 12 today, in reflection of Jesus' going to the cross and dying for our sins. Isaiah is a prophecy of the Old Testament, signifying the coming of the Messiah and that he would be dying for the sins of the world. So read that today on as a part of maybe your time alone of reading your Holy Week events. So, looking at Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 39, if you'd like to follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. And he came, Jesus came out, and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to his disciples, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And Jesus was saying this because he knew the following events and experiences that they would be meeting morally, that they needed to be on guard against Satan, that he would place all sorts of distractions and try to discourage them. So Jesus said, pray that you not fall in those kind of temptations. And then verse 41, and Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When Jesus arose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, why are you sleeping? You can get up now and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Focusing upon this passage of scriptures here, we're looking at Jesus' last night before his crucifixion on Friday. This being Holy Week, as we follow the events, and you All four Gospels cover the resurrection, crucifixion, the last hours, and the events that took place in Palm Sunday as well. Jesus knew death was near. That's why he went to the Mount of Olives to pray. He also knew exactly what was coming with this event. Betrayal, shame, torture, trauma, thirst, loneliness, the sins of the world with all the coming to a painful, painful death. Jesus knew he must finish the preparation for what was coming. So Jesus came to the garden to pray, as the scripture says. The night before his final encounter with sin, Satan, and suffering, Jesus came to the garden. There he asked God, the Father, for strength to carry out the Father's will. Jesus always prayed, not my will be done, but your will be done. But through his communion with the Father, guess what? He found victory. And you know, you and I can find victory when we come to the Lord in prayer. When we're going through troubles and times, hardships and things in our life, it's time to pray. Jesus always found time to pray. And he found victory, the strength to surrender to the Father's perfect will for his life. Now, looking at what the scripture is talking about, it is a glorious surrender of Jesus' life to the Father. He was always obedient in every area of his life, on the physical side and the divine side. Now, in life, we need to always prepare our lives and the things that's going to be taking place, just like Jesus did, through prayer. Going back to verse 39, Jesus leads his disciples to a scheduled place for prayer. And as this scripture says, and he came out and went, as was his custom. Now, taking into account, it says, as is his custom. This was a regular routine for Christ. His custom to come and pray at the Mount of Olives, and the disciples, they followed him. Remember when Jesus called them, he said, pick up your, lay down everything, leave what you're doing, and follow me. And they were following him to the Mount of Olives. Notice the phrase here, as was his custom. Now I want us to think about that. It should be our custom as well. Every day, anytime, should be our custom to pray. Prayer was a way of life for Jesus. If it's a way for Jesus, it definitely needs to be a way for us. When he was in Jerusalem, he had a special place to pray where he routinely went to the Mount of Olives. A beautiful place, a solitude place. You think about it. It was his, what he would say, closet. A time along with the Heavenly Father. He came to the garden to find strength through the communion with the Father the night before his final hour. And his final encounter with sin, Satan, and suffering. All of those things Jesus was dealing with. Jesus went there often at night, and perhaps he prayed this particular night, all night. And conscious of the temptation surrounding him, not only, but all of them. Jesus said, to his disciples, stay here while I go further to pray, that you might not enter into temptation. Jesus urged his disciples to pray in verse 40, which says, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you might not enter into temptations. See, Jesus, I want you to think about this very carefully. Jesus gave them a prayer assignment centering on their chief need. He knew what their need was. He wanted them to know. He wanted them to experience that moment. And that's why he said, stay here and pray. It's a need for us all as we hear echoes of the Lord's Prayer. And maybe you want to take time and just read that prayer this week. Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. In Jesus' admonition to disciples, they were to pray to escape temptation. And also, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Pray in the Spirit, which is directed by the Word, is necessary for overcoming temptation. Prayer helps us overcome a lot of issues in our life, a lot of obstacles, things that come up. Prayer is the answer. Now, then in verse 41, Jesus withdrew himself and prayed. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. When Jesus knelt down, he knelt down in reverence to the Almighty God. This was a troublesome time for Christ. Even though he was perfect and always on the human side, as we suffer through trauma and hardships and sufferings in our life, sometimes we just need to kneel down and pray. Get on our hands and knees or sit down and just be still and listen to God. The burden of his prayer was so heavy. You think about it. The weight of the world was on his shoulders. And it bore down on him so much that he sank to his knees to pray. His every major battle and decision were bathed in prayer. Jesus was well aware of the life-altering, eternal-changing battles that lay ahead of him. And he sought refuge in prayer. David sought refuge in prayer in Psalm 46. We need to seek refuge in prayer in our lives every day. In verse 42, Jesus prays with anguish, suffering with all the will of God of his life, saying, Father, if it be your will, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Total surrender. Jesus, even in his perfect humanity, calls out to the Father, remove this cup. Not my will, but your will be done. And this cup refers to the inconceivable suffering and death that Jesus was facing. Jesus would not have been so concerned with the physical pain as it was with the spiritual desolation of bearing our sin and the judgment of the cross. Horrendous, horrendous way to die. And as obedient son, Jesus fully places himself at the Father's power the almighty power of God. And he reveals his absolute willing surrender to his heavenly Father, our heavenly Father. And Christ's human will was always completely, perfectly yielded to God's or the Father's divine will. Now, not only there's always a preparation of prayers, but there's a prayer provided for protection. Jesus was praying and asking his disciples to pray for their protection against Satan, who was the adversary that was going to be coming against them. Jesus once again becomes the object of the ministry of the angels. Everybody was, disciples were praying, and I'm sure those back in the village there in Jerusalem were praying. They knew what was going to be taking place. But in verse 43, we see, "And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him." Where were the disciples? They were sleeping. So, to encourage and strengthen Jesus, the Heavenly Father sent an angel. Luke reminds us that while the disciples had failed him, God was there assuring Jesus in the presence of an angel. The angel's presence also reaffirmed what Jesus already knew. He had to go to the cross. And that's why the angel was there, to strengthen him. God sent that angel from heaven to earth at a time that Jesus needed that strengthening, that encouraging from the Father. You and I can also receive that as well. Every life has at least one Gethsemane, a Garden of Gethsemane. Every life, yours and mine. But every Gethsemane has an angel sent by God. The Lord will send an angel into Gethsemane too in the form of an expected person. And you may have experienced this before. I have. Maybe it's a Bible study. Maybe it's a quiet devotional time. Maybe it's a prayer time. Maybe it's a book to read to strengthen you, especially in a time of need. In verse 44, it demonstrates the intensity of Jesus' anguish. Look at this verse. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." Can you get the intense of what this verse is referring to? The agony that Jesus was going through. He was all alone praying. But yet, Jesus, the Father, sent an angel to strengthen him. And this verse says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now that is some praying, isn't it? Have you ever prayed that hard that you had sweats or drops falling from you? No. We've never experienced anything to the magnitude that Jesus was experiencing at this moment. Not at all. Gethsemane means oil press. And it's the place where olives were crushed to release their oil. The crushing, the demanding pressing that Jesus endured at Gethsemane was a preparation for what he was about to experience. For the wrath of his Father, for the sins of all humanity, you and mine, were far exceed anything that we can even comprehend. It's inconceivable to us. Think about it. In verse 45, Jesus prayed, and the time had come to the end right here. And when he rose from the prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, it says, for sorrow. They were in agony, not like Jesus. And the close of the whole scene finds them still sleeping, worn out with continued sorrow and painful anxiety they were experiencing. Jesus again confronts his disciples with the mere reality of lost opportunity. They lost that opportunity. And you know what? Paul even says, you know, in his grief and time, you know, the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, sometimes our spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak that we just ponder out. We wither away. And that's what happened to the disciples. And Jesus confronts his disciples and says to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Now think about this moment, what Jesus is saying here in verse 46. Disciples were deeply distressed because Jesus is teaching that he was going to die. He'd been telling that to them for some time. Sleeping may have helped them to ease their grief, but they would not find it there. The power to withdraw temptation. Twice here in Luke, Jesus told them to pray that they would not fall into temptation. Verse 40 and then verse 46. And you think about this. Satan won the battle against them right here. But Jesus had won his battle with this victory. He would win the war for himself, for them, and for us. In conclusion, this morning, reflecting on all of the scripture, I tell you what, Luke and John, Matthew, Mark, all of these gives us every detail that Jesus went through, every event and everything. And I trust from this troubling event that you and I have become even more aware of our need to pray. Really, sincerely. Only the one who had earnestly communed with the Father remained strong during the next few hours, and that was Jesus. The scripture says that he prayed fervently for his trial to pass. Now, how many of us have prayed for something in our life to pass? Or sometimes just to get through it? And Jesus was always there for us, wasn't it? Now, it might not have turned out exactly like we wanted it to, but it did exactly the way Jesus did, because sometimes it's a test in our life to see how sincere we are about prayer and about our surrendering to his will, to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life. Every day is a test, isn't it, in our life? Life is not always fair. Life wasn't fair to the Lord. This world wasn't fair to the Lord. If it had been for the sin coming into this world, Jesus wouldn't have had to come to this earth to die for our sin. But it was in God's plan, because God's plan, he always has a backup. He always has a way out for you and me if we will follow it. If we will seek his will, just like Jesus did. Only the one who had earnestly communed with the Father remained strong during the next few hours, and that was Jesus. Jesus prayed fervently for his trial to pass, but he submitted himself to his Father's will completely. That should always be the end result of prayer, right? For each and every one of us. But will you be, but your will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the Lord's Prayer. That's a part of the Lord's Prayer. Let your will be done. And then in me and in my life as it was in my Master's and my Lord's life. That should be our prayer. And if it's our prayers like that, then we can respond just like Jesus did to the Father. No matter what the circumstances is, no matter what the outcome is going to be, our life is always in the hands of the Master. And that is a perfect place to be. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the reflection of your scriptures. We thank you for the power that's involved in through the power of the Holy Spirit when we pray, seeking your will, knowing that you always has the best in mind for each and every one of us, and you had the best in mind for us when you sent Jesus into this world to die for the sins that we committed against you, even though we weren't in the Garden of Eden. But we're upon this earth and we make decisions that's not pleasing to you, and the Bible calls those sins. And that's why Jesus had to die, for the remissions of sin, for the forgiveness. And Lord, may each and every one of us examine our lives today. And maybe we are slack, are relaxed in our praying. Lord, may this be a renewal as we think about this Holy Week. All the events taking place, just like Jesus, we should put our place in like the disciples, that we might not fall into the temptation, be distracted by the things of this world or by Satan. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't be distracted. Don't let Satan kind of get you sidetracked on the experiences and the things of the world and circumstances. Concentrate on prayer and the Heavenly Father leading you, that you may remain strong, because our strength is in you, Lord. And we thank you for Jesus Christ that gives us that strength, because we know that we belong to you through him. In this closing moments, in our closing song, Lord, may we, if you're leading by the power of your Holy Spirit, whatever the decisions that need to be made today, whether it's salvation, repent of our sins, recognizing you are the Son of God, and the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. There's no other name given among men, heaven and earth, except through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this day for your unconditional love. And we thank you for the invitation you give us. And it's our responsibility is to respond and yield our life completely as Christ did to you. We praise and we thank you in his precious name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our final song.